What's happening, dental? Whoa, that was loud. I'm sorry about that, guys. What's happening, dental marketer tribe? I hope you're having a wonderful, wonderful Monday today. Well, if you're on the other side of the world, it's probably Tuesday. So, guys, I just hope you're having a wonderful day. My allergies today are acting up. My wife says I'm getting sick, but I don't think so. It's just allergies, guys. Anyways, I don't really want to take too much of your time at the intro of this episode, because I'm really excited to introduce you to our guest. It's Dr. Kenny Willstedt. And a lot of you are like, I've heard of that name before. He's been on, where has he not been on? He's been on CNN, local news, global news. If you live in Germany, you've probably seen him. He's been on that news. He's been on BuzzFeed, Yahoo News, all over online. Okay, so do you guys remember that one video where the patient starts crying once she sees herself in the mirror, but her front tooth was kind of missing, or it was messed up because of a domestic violence case, and so she wanted to fix it, but she didn't have the funds to do it, I'm assuming, or that's what doctor tells us. Anyways, this is the doctor. Have you seen the other case where the guy looks at himself in the mirror for the first time in a long time, with new teeth, and he starts to cry too? That's beautiful work is Dr. Kenny Willstedt. So we also talk so much more in depth, and I took some notes here that I want to share with you at the beginning of the episode. So we talk about some key points that I want you to, when you hear it, focus on it, okay? Because we obviously go into depth, or he goes into much more depth, but he mentions the longer you spend on something, that doesn't mean that the higher the quality has to become, right? Sometimes we feel like we spent so much time on this, that means the quality has to be high. But you can spend a short amount of time and the quality can be just as high or even higher. We also jump into a time machine and go into Kenny's past, and we hear how Kenny was charged with a 2/3-degree felony. He was all over the news. I mean, he was, it's such an inspiring story, because to see how successful he is now, but to know that he had to I feel like they threw him in the dirt, right? But little did they know that he was a seed. So he was ready to burst out of there and just obviously start becoming what he's becoming now. So anyways, Kenny also took over an office that was completely run down. Did he leave it or stayed? And what changes did he make if he stayed? To top it off, he wasn't just now every local news, every news where he was living and everything knows that he was that dentist who, did what he did, and he was arrested and things like that. But now the one opportunity that he finally got isn't what it panned out to be. How did he fix it? What happened, right? And then how is he now? Because if we fast forward it, now he's getting 130 new patients per month. And guys, they're not Medicaid. They're not Medi-Cal or anything. No, these are 130 new patients per month, okay? We also talk about the one thing he absolutely needs, the one tool. We also talk about this that I love. He comes up with a home run analogy, and it's hit a home run on the first visit, right? It gets tons of referrals, and it's true. The crowd doesn't stand up and cheer when you get a double, or when you hit one and it gets to the first base and stuff. Some people will clap and stuff, but when you hit a home run, that's the grand slam. That's when everybody's like, "What?" And then everybody starts cheering. The crowd only cheers on a home run, guys. Okay, remember that. And we also talk about reputation is built on a smile makeover and changing lives. And that's so true. And it's so simple that we don't think about it. Reputation isn't really built on drill and fills, right? You did 3 fillings. That's amazing. No, it's more like, holy crap, you just changed my life, man. You made me have more confidence. Oh my gosh, total smile makeover. I can smile now. Before, I always covered my smile with my hand. So we talk about that. We talk about why doesn't Kenny like the word professional and office manager. Why doesn't he like those two words? What does it mean to him? What might mean the same thing to you? We also talk about what to consider when giving slash doing discounted work or recording a patient to put on your social media. And a lot of the times, because I sometimes do help doctors with patient testimonials, and they'll send me like a patient, and it looks forced. You know what I mean? Like, you really need to know the type of patient to record, how to record them, and Kenny breaks that down pretty well. What to look for to a patient. Don't just record any patient and, you know, hope for a testimonial. Then you're just going to be like a regular dentist with regular testimonials. Like, you need to have something that makes a home run, right? And invest the time into that and the money into that. That's what you need. Not even so much money, just invest the time into it. And then we finally talk about, don't ever take someone's money and let them leave the door unsatisfied. Never, ever do that. And sometimes we have a long day, right? And it's just like, man, let's just get it out. Let's just get it done. And then you get it done, but did they leave satisfied? Did they leave unsatisfied? Then we come the next morning and we see a review and we're like, oh, crap. You know what I mean? Like, they left a bad review and I stayed here this long. I spent it. And that's where we go back to, the longer you spend on something, the higher the quality has to become. Not really. I mean, this is a really, really jam-packed episode that I want you guys to understand. And I like how Kenny's like an open book. He doesn't hide anything. He's not like, oh, this is how I make my stuff go viral and this is how I'm all over the news. Like, to this day, I'm pretty sure he's still being interviewed by the news. Like, literally, like ABC, CBS, like, they interview him. And obviously, you know, that brings in huge amounts of, you know, marketing new patients and things like that. That's why he's getting 130 new patients. And most of them are from referrals, guys. I mean, it's not like they're from, you know, a lot of tons of marketing dollars that he's spending. No, these news media people are looking for him. And it's because of the cases he works on and how he works on them. I mean, I don't want to say it all, but like, just listen to the episode. Listen to the episode. But first, let's hear about his crazy past. Okay, let's hear about his past and how he got to where he is, how he got to where he's at right now.
Let's see. I've been practicing for 7 years. Uh-huh. I went to Temple University. After that, I got out of dental school and started looking for kind of where I wanted to live. It was a little bit hard to find in Arizona. The biggest surprise when I got out of school was how many dentists there were in Arizona. Mm-hmm. And I got to certain intersections and I counted between 4 and 6 dentists on the same intersection.
Oh, wow.
And I really just spent about a full year looking for different areas where they weren't completely overpopulating every spot. And so the one thing that I saw that did was that it seemed to pin the dentists against one another as far as pricing goes. The patients, I think the turning point that really turned me off and that made me want to move to Texas, mm-hmm. was one day I was looking at the reviews for different dentists in a certain area, and I saw one guy only had an average of like two stars on Google. And I thought, was really surprised. I'm like, man, he must be, you know, he must have some pretty bad bedside manner and stuff. Yeah. And so when I started reading the actual reviews and what caused him to get a 2, everyone kept complaining about his prices. Mm. And I was like, oh, wow. You know, the entire population started to be price driven completely. Mm-hmm. And they were literally judging this dentist by his prices alone instead of his skill or his quality or anything. And that was a bad sign for me. Mm-hmm. And definitely not a place that I want to be. I want to have the freedom to charge discounts. That's fine. But when the norm is complete discount dentistry every step of the way, and yet these people are going to, these same people expecting discount dentistry, they're going to expect also the highest quality.
Yeah.
And so that's just a lot of dentistry to do for half price over and over every day. And mm-hmm. that became kind of the social norm there. So I decided to look around, and I looked at different areas in the country, and I just a small, you know, I just had one or two people I knew in Texas, and I called them up and they said it was doing great out here. So I got a flight and I got 7 interviews set up and ended up in Abilene, Texas for 3 years.
Oh.
In Arizona, though, I worked in about 6 or 7 different locations, kind of picking up things here and there.
Mm-hmm.
And but when I got to Texas, I found a dentist that really practiced at a really high level. His bedside manner was really good. He was really confident. He's been practicing for 25 years. His name is Bob Leedy. Mm-hmm. He just had a lot of really good gems over and over again, and I kind of have a natural, you know, affinity toward making dentistry easy, quick, and with a really high level of quality. And so did he. And so together we just kept developing, you know, faster and faster things. And so it really helped when patients are trying to get into the door. Most dentists, for some reason, literally think that the longer they spend on something, the higher the quality has to become. And I just don't subscribe to that mentality at all. To me, mm-hmm. the quicker you can do it, the more painless you can do it, and yet not sacrifice quality, needs to be priority one. And so from that point on, it just became a natural thing where I just like to do dentistry, and people really like to get in and out of the chair and then look at the work that I did and see that it was flawless. And I think the one analogy that I think about sometimes is when I thought mm-hmm. my neighbor one time had to change the engine out of my car, and he said he would do it, and he said it would cost him me X amount of dollars, like, you know, $1,500 to switch the engine out. And I was like, okay, but you can do it this weekend. And they were like, yeah. And so he did it, and it took him all this time, and he wanted to charge me for that kind of time. And I'm like, all right. So I even gave him a little more because it took him longer.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking after the fact, you know what? I could have taken this to a shop. They could have done it in 3 hours and probably charged me way less because they did it in 3 hours. And my question back to myself is, does that mean they did it with less quality? And the answer is no. Of course, they would have done it with just the same amount of quality, if not a little better. They'd just been doing it all day, every day. They were used to doing it. Mm-hmm. They just had everything streamlined. And so in dentistry, it's the same thing. I feel like the more we do of something, the faster we can do it, the more streamlined we can make it, the more predictable the results. And so I've just learned to just cater to that philosophy. Mm-hmm. So I was in Abilene for a few years, and I decided one day to, well, my wife came up to me and said that there was a friend at the gym that said they were having a wedding coming up,
mm-hmm.
and he wanted to lose some weight, and he's like, are you allowed to prescribe phenermine or whatever, to, you know, something that my family, you know, was familiar with? And I said, I don't know, let me ask my boss. So I asked Bob, and Bob's like, oh, I don't know, I prescribed Viagra to one of my friends. And I was just like, okay. He's like, well, just ask the pharmacist. If they say it's okay, it should be fine.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right. So I just write it up, send the patient to the pharmacist. Pharmacist said it was fine. Mm-hmm. So he filled it, and I was just like, dang, man, that's awesome, you know? And so I remember there was a weight loss doctor in Abilene that never was there, like ever. He always was on vacation doing stuff like that. And so I got the bright idea to sign a script for myself too, and using Bob's name, because it seemed like a partner thing to do, I guess.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So 6 months later, though, oh, and that was the only time I ever did it. But 6 months later, I get a knock at the door, and a DPS officer starts asking questions and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, I did that. You know, I haven't done it since.
What?
It's stupid.
Just yeah.
Poor judgment. And he's like, no, it's all right. You know, people do that kind of stuff. But let me just bring you down to the station. Let me just write something up and you can, you know, be on your way. And I'm like, okay. So we go down there, and he's like, he writes it up, and I look it over, and I'm like, okay, that's pretty accurate, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Made a stupid mistake, and signed the bottom of it. As soon as I signed the bottom of it, he says, I'm going to charge you right now with 2-third-degree felonies. You have the right to remain silent. He reads me my Miranda rights. And I'm like, what? And so I end up getting charged with 2-third-degree felonies. I was on the 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, and 8 o'clock news.
What? For real? This is for real. This really happened.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, for sure. Definitely for real.
How long ago was that?
2014.
Oh, wow.
So that day, I went into work the next day. No, our phones were ringing off the hook that night. I'd tell my wife about it. She couldn't believe it. I went to work the next day and told my boss that I didn't want to ruin his reputation. You know, I know he worked for his career there and his reputation for 25 years. I didn't want to be a thorn in that. And so I said, if he needs to let me go, that we can dissolve our new partnership we just signed on.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, yeah, we're probably going to have to do that. Really sorry about all this. And I'm like, not your fault. So we dissolved our partnership that day, and I didn't have a job, and mm-hmm. nobody in the city would take me or hire me because I was on their news. It was only a small town of 100,000. And so I ended up the very next day making a trip to San Antonio, 4.5 hours away, and living in my car for a few weeks trying to find work. And had a lot of qualities, but every time I spoke to somebody, I was as honest as ever, and that seemed to scare everybody away, but the only places I could get any work were nighttime clinics or emergency clinics, ones that no one else would work in.
Mm-hmm.
And so for the next year, we tried to sell our house in Abilene. That took forever because we just had it built and still had some things left to do on it in order to sell it. So that took forever to finish the fence and stuff. Nobody wanted to buy a house without a fence, so it just took forever.
Mm-hmm.
But we just pretty much decided. It was kind of fight or flight, honestly, for that year. And finally got out to San Antonio with my family. I have three kids, by the way.
Wow.
At the time, my daughter was 16, my son was 13, and my other daughter was 12. And so we had to pull them all out of school. My 16-year-old had to leave her boyfriend, and I thought she was going to die. She literally was in the fetal position for days in her closet. But we finally got to San Antonio, and I thought that there would just be jobs after jobs lined up, but I didn't realize in bigger cities they do a lot of background checks. Smaller towns, not that big of a deal. Bigger towns, you better have a clean pass or else they're gonna ask.
Yeah.
So anyways, it was just touch and go, and finally I got into a program. The charges didn't stick. It took a year and a half for them to go to be dismissed. I had to go back every month to do random, I had to do piss tests every month.
Mm-hmm.
I had to go back and I had to do community service, and then the dental board has to get involved. So you're fighting two wars now. One mm-hmm. on the criminal side, so I had to get a criminal attorney, and he said I was the stupidest dentist he'd ever met in a million years. He's like, I can't believe you signed something. He's like, had you never signed that, they couldn't have gotten you on that at all. He said, but you're too, way too honest for your own good. So I'm like, no shit.
Yeah.
So anyways, he got me into a pretrial diversion program, mm-hmm. which meant that I was on probation for a year. And so after that year was up, nothing happened in that year and did all the stuff required and the charges were dropped. So that was over, but then the dental board part was just getting started.
Oh,
took them a lot longer to go through all the files and find anything, any other discrepancies in any other script writing for the 3 years I was there, and found one thing where I prescribed just a sleeping aid for somebody. Because of their case the next morning was going to be super huge and she was worried she wouldn't get any sleep or
mm-hmm.
So anyways, that was another year of dealing with that. And so my license was always intact. I ended up getting a reprimand from the dental board and got my DEA license and DPS licenses taken away or certifications taken away for 2 years.
Wow.
So it was just finally I got a call though. Mm-hmm. In the middle of the fall while I was in San Antonio, and I got a call saying that there was a dentist that, you know, this guy had an extra office in Marshall, Texas, 6 hours from there, and asked and heard about what had happened with me and said, listen, we feel like you kind of got railroaded by the system.
The media and everything,
yeah. We really need your expertise in this town that needs a really good dentist like you. Would you be interested in running your own office? We own it. You can just go there and make all the rules, make all the changes you need, and just make it your own. And I was like, well, let me check it out. So got the kids all in the car and my wife, and we went out to Marshall, Texas to check it out. And
mm-hmm.
it was not exactly what I like, but I saw a lot of, since I've been in so many offices by then, really, I saw a lot of potential. I did not know all the patients had been completely run off. He didn't tell me anything like that. He just said this practice is ready to go. They need a dentist. The per capita ratio was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And I did all the numbers myself and everything was there for success. But when I signed up on the first day and there were no patients ever showing up, I found out that I was the fourth dentist in the last 2 years and all the others were right out of school. And they all kind of used it as a stepping stone to get somewhere else and use their guaranteed income that they guarantee people for the first 6 months. And then they would just leave. And so pretty much running off every patient that they had bought when they got the office. And so kind of getting into a situation like that wasn't that easy, but I was up for the challenge. And so made some really, really, really important changes to the staff. The person answering the phones has been the most important person in the office to start off. If they don't have a certain personality, you're kind of,
mm-hmm.
when a conversation starts like this, hi, thanks for calling Marshall Family Dental. This is Linda. How can I help you? I'm sorry, sir. The doctor's going to need to see you first in order to give you that information.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thanks. Bye. and then they hung up.
Yeah.
That's really, and that happening over and over, just really wasn't the most ideal, you know, personality type. So anyways, I made some changes, and once I made some changes, I probably in the first 6 months, I took it from like $20,000 a month to $100,000 after 6 months, and then now we do around 140, and that's about as much as my hands can do every month.
Mm-hmm. As for yeah, definitely. So that's where you're at right now, right?
We were getting about four new patients a month. It seemed that now we get about 130.
Wow, man, that's amazing.
And that's not Medicaid either.
That's just like, wow, that's really good. So if we backtrack a little bit, in the 7 years, you said you worked for an Arizona dentist, right? For about 7 years? 6 years, 7 years, you said?
No. I've been practicing 7 years. My first year was in Arizona.
Oh, your first year. Sorry about that. Your first year. What's something you picked up there that you still take with you today?
77R. If you want to be able to take out any tooth in the mouth, you need a 77R. There's just something about, a lot of people don't know about it. It's really interesting because it has a little kink in it,
mm-hmm.
and that kink means the world. Because if you spin a straight elevator, it just spins in place, even if you try to lean against the tooth. But you turn something that has a kink in it, and the torque is about 100-fold. And you really don't know until you put it in your hand. And as soon as you really get it in there, it just kind of does its own. It does it all. You just have to try it out. If you haven't used a 77R, in fact, I have a funny story. When I got out to Texas and I had that interview with Bob, it was my last interview of the day, and he was really excited, and I was really excited to work for him. And then on his way out, we were literally leaving, and he goes, "Wait a minute." He's like, "Do you want to know the secret to all of oral surgery?" And the funny thing is, he goes into this drawer, and he's like rummaging through his oral surgery instruments, and I was just thinking to myself, if he pulls out a back action 77R, I'm going to crap.
Okay.
And sure enough, he pulls out a 77R, and I looked at it, and I'm just like, "Oh my gosh, you know that one?" He's like, and he looked at me just completely blown away that I knew that it was a back action elevator. And from that point on, we just kind of clicked. But it's definitely kind of something that I picked up in Arizona. And I don't remember where, it just, through all the offices that I was in, it just seemed like that was one of the, a game changer. I can pretty much pull out any tooth within 2 minutes or it's free.
Oh, wow. That's good. That's like, that's what you mentioned to people? Like, hey, 2 minutes or it's free?
Oh, yeah. I'll tell them that. I'll be like, "This will be out in 30 seconds. If it takes more than 2 minutes, I won't charge you."
Oh, wow. That's good stuff. So did you work at the nighttime clinics?
Yeah, I'd work. Yep.
What's something you learned from there?
If it's infected, it'll come out in 2 seconds.
Gotcha.
That's right. If somebody's coming in with a lot of pain, I mean, they obviously are harder to anesthetize. That's fine. But at the end of the day, the abscess will completely strip away the PDL.
Mm-hmm.
So it does not take very much action it does not take very much movement from your elevator to get out a tooth that's abscessed or, you know, necrotic and all these other things. And so really just anytime you see something, it looks like it's going to be hard, but if it's infected and they're in pain, trust that you'll have that out in no time. So that's kind of a big deal. Another thing that I really feel like was kind of a game changer mentality.
Mm-hmm.
There's these people trying to figure out if a tooth needs a root canal or doesn't need a root canal. My philosophy is that if you tap on it and it hurts, and if it's not bite related, you have to rule that out. If it's bite related, you're tapping on it because it's traumatized because of some occlusion issue,
mm-hmm.
then you really have to weed that information out. If this is a totally, you know, tooth that no one's touched recently at all, and there's some sort of cavity or something like that, and it looks really bad on the x-ray, do not assume anything. Just because it looks bad on the x-ray, if you say, "Hey, does that tooth hurt?"
Mm-hmm.
If they say no, sometimes it's hurt. It would hurt if they tried to bite on it, but you'd be surprised how many people will say, "No, it doesn't hurt." And I'd be like, "But have you tried to chew on it lately?" Like, "No, I won't chew on that side." And I'm like, "Oh, so it has hurt, but it doesn't hurt anymore because you chew on the other side." And he's like, "Yeah."
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, "Okay, well, that doesn't count." So but basically my rule of thumb is, if it's a tooth that hasn't gotten a recent crown or hasn't gotten a recent filling, and you can they come in and you look at the x-ray and it looks like it should hurt because there may be a huge cavity, I guarantee you, if all you gotta do is tap on it. If you tap on it and that tooth literally hurts, then it does need a root canal. So a lot of people just want to use cold tests and do all these extra things to try to determine it. But to me, so many times I'll look at an x-ray and my first thoughts are root canal, root canal, root canal. But I'll always tell my staff before I go in the room, I'll say question mark on 9 or question mark on 19. And then I'll say question mark is I don't want to assume just because there's a cavity that's really, really deep that that's an automatic root canal. I'll literally go in the room and I'll say, hey, let me check a few teeth. And I'll just go tap, tap here, tap, tap there, that. And if they jump, I can prove that it was through pain, not just because I tapped on a tooth randomly, because they'll jump at almost anything sometimes. But if it does hurt, that's a root canal. But so many times, 75% of the time that I see something in the x-ray that looks like it should be a root canal, 75% of the time, it's not into the nerve at all. It's asymptomatic, and you're sitting there wasting a lot of time treatment planning root canals and charging people for root canals, and all of a sudden you get in, then you're like, that this isn't to the nerve. I've already discussed the finances. I'll just puncture into the nerve and do it now. But all you had to do was just tap on it, and you would have found out that it wasn't into the nerve. So anyways, that's another big deal for me, is that just because something looks ugly, whether it looks ugly visually or clinically and radiographically, just tap on it to really know, and that'll tell you the entire story of that tooth.
That's simple.
So just another huge thing.
Huge tip. Yeah, I understand. Yeah, I get it. So what is one technique, tactic, strategy, or procedure that you have used or seen increase your dental practice's profits?
I have a patent pending on it. They're called, so I haven't unveiled it yet, but I've done some courses already on it, teaching about it, but it's a system that I developed about cosmetic dentistry. Basically, and I used it again today, but basically if somebody says, I want, a new smile, I can say right there in front of them that I can make them have a new smile in less than 2 hours and get them in. And it's not just drilling on the teeth in 2 hours and putting some temps on in 2 hours. The main idea is to hit a home run on that visit. This is kind of what it means, is that so many dentists will prep the teeth, put them in their temps, and they use their original version of those teeth as the guide for the temporaries by doing some aspect of a blue bite. And so the other option in dentistry is to take an impression, and if the teeth are really jacked and they want them to be in nice temporaries, they have to wait and send it off to a lab, or they have to go into their own lab and meticulously mock it up themselves into the model up, and then do a suck down, and now they have a new, setup for making them temps that day. I kind of have my system basically does not force anybody to send it off to a lab for 2 weeks and make a lab mock it up, and it also doesn't take an hour or 2 hours or to mock it up perfectly myself. I basically I'm developing what they call Will Stents. My last name is Willstead, but we're going to call them Will Stents. But it's basically, it's pretty much I can give them a brand new smile that day with the temps, acting as nice as the permanents, perfectly straight, the new facials, new incisals, new everything that same day, and I didn't need any prep work. So I can do the entire mock-up, the entire preps, the impression, and put the temps on in less than 2 hours, even with buildups and everything. And the key to that, making that first appointment that good, is because you want the day that somebody lets you get them numb, pays the money, emotionally invests in something. You want that day to be the day that they walk out feeling like they just made the best decision of their life by looking at the temps in the mirror, because that is the day that they're going to tell people. I get more referrals in the 3 weeks that my patients are in their temps than the entire time that they're in their permanent crowns.
Wow.
All because you hit a home run. It doesn't work where you hit a double and then you hit it, and then you end up walking home eventually in baseball. Like, the crowd only stands up on their feet and cheers if you hit a home run on the first try from the plate. And so many dentists do not take advantage of the value of making quality temps that could virtually be as nice as the permanents. And I hear the adage that, you know, don't make them too nice or they'll never come back. But guess what? Make them super nice and they'll tell 100 people about you. They'll post it on Facebook. They'll update their Facebook profile. They'll do so many things on that same day that you were able to knock that home run, because that was the day you jumped the farthest in their mind. Mm-hmm. You went from here all the way to here in one jump. If you give them anything less than that, and you have to say the words, hey, just so you know, these are just the temps. You just wear these for a few weeks, and you know, and you're always going to make them a little better. You know, you're going to make them a little wider. You know, a little the shades nicer, they're glossier, so they look better than what they had. But that's it, therein lies the problem. They're better, so the person, what they do is they don't tell anybody because the next ones are still coming.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem comes is that in those 3 weeks they get used to them looking like that. And so then when you put the permanents on, you wonder why they're not, you know, skipping across the room. It's because you gave them three weeks to calm down, and they almost forgot what they used to look like. And guess what happens when you put on the permanents? They aren't telling anybody. They'll tell their closest friends. They'll tell their mom or their dad or their shoulder spouse, maybe some one of the persons that they talk to on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
But they are not excited enough to show the world on social media. That can only happen when you can hit the homer from the plate.
Yeah, definitely. That's an amazing comparison, like the home run to that. Was that the patient that you had, the guy in the video? Mm-hmm. Is he the one who got the temps too? He had temps?
That's a denture.
Oh, that was a denture.
Literally,
oh.
Like he came in and I just did a denture. I pulled all of his, I pulled 15 top teeth in, I think, 19 minutes, I think it was timed. And then, I mean, his whole procedure lasted less than an hour. And you just saw me take out, I mean, I took out 30 teeth and put in his dentures and pretty much changed his life
right then and there.
So it's different. Dentures. And that one was just as much of a, you know, of a shocker. I made sure to put a reline in because I know he flew from Arizona. So he flew all the way out to Texas to see me. And so, but your goal should always be as a dentist, as a practitioner, to blow their minds the first chance you get. Don't split it up. Don't break the effect into two experiences because you're completely going to lose all of the momentum you could have had and could have captured. And you're actually going to get, you'll go from 100% response, nationwide to zero, virtually zero. You will never... You'll get maybe one referral from a cosmetic case if you break it up, where you'll get countless amounts if you can make them so excited when they get their temps. I mean, I can't tell you how many people have their updated profile pictures still from when they got their temps in.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Do any of the temps ever break that you give them?
I mean, I don't change the occlusion, so I don't alter with my system. I don't alter the linguals. As mm-hmm. far as changing where their dimensions are. I don't do veneers, first of all. These are all full coverage crowns. I just don't subscribe to dealing with the headache of constant veneers popping off. And so pretty much in all of my cases, they kind of need radical changes. And so, but no, my temps don't come off because they're all connected.
Ah, okay, cool.
They're all six crowns, they're all fused together. They're all made as one piece. And so as far as coming off, they're not going to come off. I don't get them breaking. If you work really hard on making sure your occlusion is really, really good, you just have to spend that extra 10 to 15 minutes making sure their occlusion and all their all their movements are perfect.
Gotcha. So tell us a little bit, if you can, or just tell us the whole thing about a couple of the videos that went viral of your patients.
Well, Kylia came in to see me. I had a whole waiting room full of patients. It was right at 1 o'clock and she contacted me through Facebook. All of my patients do, it seems. And she contacted me one evening, really, and said, I have a toothache. I heard about you. Is there any way that you can squeeze me in tomorrow to get this tooth out? And I said, sure, no problem. Just call the girls in the morning, and they'll get a good time for you. So she shows up at 1 o'clock, and, you know, she kind of asked me how much it would be ahead of time. So she brought $150, which, as a waitress, she said that was her whole paycheck.
Oh, man.
And so I got her numbed up and got the tooth out, and as she was sitting up, I kind of noticed her front tooth, and I said, well, you know, I didn't have a whole lot of time to do a full mouth exam because I just wanted to help her out and get that her out of pain. But I said, you know, what happened to your front tooth? And she's like, and she kind of went quiet, and she's like, well, my ex, he headbutted me in the middle of the night on Christmas morning. Wow. And I was really like, just seriously? And I'm like, how long ago? And she's like, 2 years ago. And I said, you've been going around like that for 2 years? She's like, well, one dentist tried to fix it, but it didn't take.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, and I know why, like just looking at the way it looked, I can just, you know, there's a lot of technique stuff. If you do the right technique, you should be able to get that to stay. And too many people are too conservative when mm-hmm. it comes to doing composites. They need to understand that you need to grab as much of the enamel as possible. So I have no problem roughing up a lot more on the surface in order to get it to look good and mm-hmm. and to stay on. But too many times they just try to cover just the tip and it's going to break off.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I just said, you know what? You know, let's get that fixed right now. And she says, but I only brought enough money for the extraction. And I was like, no, we'll just do that right now. No charge. Mm-hmm. And she's like, you know, her face just was really surprised, and she kind of just went speechless, but I didn't really have a chance to, you know, see her real reaction at all. She was just kind of really quiet still.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't really know what to expect later, that's for sure. She had mentioned that she wanted to spend all of her tax returns next year on getting all of her teeth fixed. And so I was really impressed with, you know, her kind of taking a lot of ownership over her problems and wanting to really commit to her dental treatment, and was excited to kind of turn this page in her life. And so I felt like, you know, helping her was, you know, definitely something that I could mm-hmm. do on somebody who was already helping themselves as well. So I leaned her back and fixed it up. It took like 10 minutes to redo the whole thing. And it looked really good when I was done. I was kind of surprised because I still had these other patients waiting for me in the other rooms. And I kind of thought I rushed through it a little bit, mm-hmm. but it looked so good. And I just was about to sit her up. I didn't have to numb her up. So I kind of thought, I'll just record a reaction. I really have no idea what to expect, and I rarely do that.
Yeah.
But I just grabbed my phone and turned it on, and I just was, you know, I actually normally, it's the first time I've ever actually recorded a person laying back, because
mm-hmm.
I genuinely didn't think she was even going to respond that well. She was just so quiet. But as soon as she held that mirror, I've never seen just an entirely different person show up in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Just like recognizing herself for the first time. Like, I genuinely don't think she'd smiled in a mirror in years. And so it was just kind of the most joy I've ever seen a patient have, especially considering that it took 10 minutes. And I kind of just posted it on my Facebook, and it pretty much, I think in the first few hours, it had like 5,000 views in the first hour, and then it got shared hundreds and hundreds of times, and all of a sudden some major media places were picking it up, and I started getting calls from Inside Edition and ABC and
really
USA wow. Today and so they interviewed me. I was on the news I don't know how many times. I still got a call from Germany yesterday asking. It's just crazy how far it went, honestly. It's still to this day like getting shown and translated in so many countries. I'm just kind of like really surprised.
Yeah.
I don't know how many interviews we've done since then. You know, Kylie has been a trooper. She thinks that it's awesome. She thinks she's a movie star. it's really adorable.
Yeah, no, it's changed. And then you did another guy, right? Another guy that
yeah,
video went pretty
during
viral
all,
too.
Yeah, during all of this, I got a lot of messages, obviously, from that original post. And so it was a woman in Arizona that said that her husband really wasn't able to eat. He was 22 years old. They had two little children. He works all day and all night.
Mm-hmm.
And she was just really worried about him. You know, he was like almost 100 and something pounds. and just totally withering away because he couldn't really eat because all of his teeth were rotting away because he's drinking so many Red Bulls trying to stay awake for his second job.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just cost him so much of his health, and he was just declining, and she was getting super worried about him. And everywhere she'd went in Arizona, it seemed like that all the dentists kept naming prices over $10,000. There was one that she really wanted, but it was $14,000. And so I was just kind of like, I'm like, well, if you can get out here, then if you're willing to travel and, you know, put forth that effort to, you know, get all the way to Marshall, Texas, then I'd be happy to try to see what I can do. And so I just charged them the lab fee for the dentures. It was like $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said I'd do all the 30 extractions for no charge. And as long as they're willing to come out here twice, you know, I can. They're actually coming out three times. This last time was just the second time. So the first time they came out, and they were really excited. I took the impressions and got the dentures back. And then he came in just this past week, and I took all the teeth out. It just took a few minutes. They were actually really hard, but it didn't take long with the back, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I messed with the denture for a little bit and decided that since he's going home, I knew that, you know, dentures are tricky. You need to do a lot of tweaking to them to make them feel good after the fact, after when the healing is going. And so to mitigate all the adjustments, I've decided to do a soft reline right away, something I normally wait to do, but that way at least he's leaving here with it fitting perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
And so I put it in. I did a lot of adjusting to it. And I put it in. I recorded. His dad actually recorded his response, and I got a copy of it. And I asked him if I could post it, and they said, "Oh, you know, they were just so generous and just said that they could, you know." I've never actually seen a man cry very often, and so mm-hmm. it was just awesome to see a 22-year-old really kind of just. If you watch the video, it's like he doesn't really know the person that he's looking at. He keeps trying to like explore smiling because he's just surprised at who that looks like. And he's just like, and I thought the cue to my favorite part was at the end when I said, you get to walk out of here with those.
Oh, yeah,
and he
yeah.
gets this really big grin, like, you're right. Wow. I mean, this is me. And he's done so many posts every 6 hours. I think he updates his profile picture and, you know, he just gets another good look at himself, and now his wife is in it with him. I remember the first time that they took a new picture together, and that's mm-hmm. the one that's on. I updated the Facebook post now and have one of the pictures with him and his wife that he posted that I thought was just super, super, super sweet.
That's nice,
man. It definitely changed their lives. They just constantly message me and tell me how much, and I've never seen, it's awesome to see all their family, like relatives, just talk and just say, oh my gosh, Jake, you're just, you know, just so happy for someone like him, and mm-hmm. and the world just kind of bent a little sideways when he got home.
Yeah, definitely. Do you get emotional a little bit watching these people like go through that, or no? Or you're kind of like, nah, I don't do that.
I do it every day. These are just the videos that people see. I mean, I kind of was raised like this a little bit, so to me, I like to see it. I like to change people's lives. That's why I do it. I don't cry. I never have cried. You know, I'm not an emotional person. I just like to smile a lot. And, you know, if you watch me in the video, you know, he's in the middle of getting emotional and I'm sitting there cracking jokes, you know, saying, you know, I know your mouth is numb, so you're going to talk kind of retarded.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I just like to have fun, you know, and so while everyone else is getting emotional in the room, I'm usually smiling with a big grin on my face.
Yeah, that's good, though. It's good to have that type of person in the room, you know what I mean? Like, to kind of break the ice or to just, like, break the mm-hmm. tension in between there. That's good, man. So what is one strategy, idea, or technique you would never do again, and why?
Strategy or technique.
Mm-hmm.
I would just never listen to anybody else in a lot of ways, as far as when you feel like it's something that you can do. I think the one thing that I learned is to, in the seven, in all the years before I got my own place, is that I was right. In other words, whenever I sent my patient my cell number as they mm-hmm. left, like, here's my cell number, give me a call if you ever have any problems at all. I had so many employers saying, don't do that, you know, don't give them your number, you know, that's borderline inappropriate, especially if they're pretty. You know, you can't give a pretty girl your number. That's not right. You know, it doesn't matter. It seemed like every time I tried to do anything, everybody always looked at it in a way that, you know, wasn't right. And how do I, you know, they say things like, don't reprimand your staff in front of a patient. And I do that. I don't mind it. I think that it's real. You know, it's authentic. My goal is that all of my patients see me as the most real person that they have. It doesn't mean I'm trying to be rude. It just means that that's, you know, who I am. And I pretty much have taught my staff that if other dentists are doing it, don't expect for me to do it. It's just not my way. I do things and I am my own person, and I don't like to just hear what corporate dentistry does. I don't subscribe to doing anything any other way. When it comes to a Facebook page, I have a Marshall Family Dental account, but I actually pretty much run my entire practice through my personal Kenny Willstead account. And with that, whenever I post something now, the algorithm for Facebook is so much different if you post it on a personal page than if you did it on your business one. If you put something on your business, it's not going anywhere. I mean, you're going to get 20 likes and that's it. You can even run a promotion through your Facebook, you know, business page. It's not going to do anything, at least as worthwhile as you're hoping it to. What I do is just, I'm putting everybody, the strangers galore, through my own Facebook page for my own personal side of things, and if I post something on there, it goes viral. I mean, it just literally just gets shared 1,000 times, gets liked 1,000 times, and yet nobody else will do that because that's not appropriate or that's unprofessional. And I say, you know what, if it's inappropriate, I'll do it. If it's unprofessional, I'll definitely do it. Because to me, the word professional to me just means fake. So I basically have learned that if I act professional, I mean, I wear jeans and boots to work every day, and a nice button down or whatever of my picking, but I don't wear scrubs or anything that looks professional because I just want to be comfortable. So that's who I am, and that's what, you know, what I want everyone else to know is just, you're going to get me every single time. You're not going to get a version of me that I only want to show you, but I'm going to let you in all the way so that when I go over your treatment, you're going to know that you got the most honest person in front of you. My biggest thing is to just don't subscribe to what other people do, and don't be afraid to completely ignore them and do the exact opposite, because every time I've done it, it seemed like it's worked.
Quick question, out of the, you know how you said you pretty much put this dental practice that you have right now, like literally brought it back from the dead, what's something you changed in the front office? Because I know you were talking about, like, you know, how they should answer the phones and things like that. What did you change?
I pretty much put somebody up there that likes to just, number one, be really real, really talkative. But my biggest thing is that you can't see these people. They're calling in for the first time. If that phone rings, somebody is giving you the biggest compliment in the world. And that is to call your office, whether they do it on accident or if it was totally random or not. Either way, you need to be taking it as it's just the biggest compliment in the world. And so whatever you have to do, if it's telling them to go across the street, if it's, you know, there's a dentist over there that might be able to help them better. I mean, anything you can do to make them feel like that they're important to them and that call matters, you know, not be sleazily pathetic, you know, as far as, oh, please pick us. But no, just be yourself and just be accommodating in any way you can, and just treat every patient like they're super, super, super important to the office and to you individually. And so just the phones, and never listen to a patient's anger as anger. You know, these are people that are calling somebody that they're distressed, they're in pain. They know that they're going to have to spend money they probably didn't plan for. And so they're really crabby. And so many times we want to get offended. You know, there's so many front desk girls that have been like, she was rude. And I just look at them like, I get mad, actually. I'm like, no, they're allowed to be rude because you don't know what they're going through. You don't know them. You don't know what happened to them today. And, you know, we don't get to judge what's rude and what's not rude. Your job is to answer the phone and to treat them the best you possibly can. And I promise these people are not rude when they get in the door. Yeah. You know, you just have to take it. Take one across the face. Take two across the face. They know they're being rude. The patients actually know it. And when they see that you're willing to take a few jabs, all of a sudden, they're just like impressed. They're like, wow, they just took that straight-faced, and they're still talking to me like they're nice and sweet. And immediately, they just became your best patients you have. So don't ever be afraid to you know, don't let the staff get offended. I hire only staff that aren't allowed to get offended. Mm-hmm. I can try to offend them, but the rule is you're not allowed to get offended.
You can try to offend them.
If you get people that are like, I don't like the way you talked to me yesterday, and you say, well, then you go find somebody somewhere else that can coddle you to death where you feel really, really good every day. But that's not here. Here we're kind of like ourselves. So if you're going to get offended, and I was just being myself, and I'm just like, that's on you. But I like to have fun. We like to be real, but we don't like to put up with much drama. And so we only hire people, though, that are good people in the first place. And so that's why you're just kind of there to do your best job you possibly can do and have fun doing it.
Gotcha. So you replaced pretty much the whole staff, right, from the very beginning?
Except for one person, yes. The lowest girl in the office, the one who's the newest dental assistant, mm-hmm. is now the office manager.
Oh, wow, really?
So she's,
good stuff.
Yeah, and she's not even the office manager. She's my main assistant still. And so she's an office manager, and yet she's an assistant all day long. So I like running. I don't like any women up at the front calling themselves an office manager. Mm-hmm. I just feel like there's, you know, I don't like the word. And so if I'm going to call you it, it's going to, you know, you're only going to be called that for very specific purposes, and none of which mean that you have authority.
Mm-hmm.
Just because if somebody says, can I talk with the office manager? There's, okay, let me go get her. But I remember one day when Sarah said to me, you know, she was kind of in she was having a moment of power, you know, she wanted to feel strong that day or something, because I kind of undermined her authority, which she didn't really have, and mm-hmm. she called me out on it and said, well, why am I an office manager then? And I said, do you want to know why you're an office manager? You get called an office manager to put up with me.
Yeah.
That's your job. You don't get, you're not an office manager to call yourself one and to make yourself feel important, or, you know, you are an office manager because I need somebody to complain to cry to get mad to. You have to put up with me. So you're an office manager so that we can collaborate and get on the same page. But aside from that, you're just the most qualified, you know, person, the one that doesn't judge, the one that has no pride, and is just going to work hard and show everybody what working hard looks like.
And just to, like, so everybody knows, you don't do, like, procedures for free. Like, for example, the stories that you told us.
Right.
Because, like, anybody can kind of just reach out to you and tell you, like, a sob story, and then, you know what I mean? It's not like that's what you do.
Yeah.
You were telling
me.
Uh-huh.
I've done dentistry for free, but it's usually not for the reasons why you would think. My rule of thumb is put your hand in as many hands as you possibly can, especially when it comes to cosmetic dentistry, because reputations aren't built on extractions and fillings. They're built on smile makeovers, and they're built on changing lives. So if you have somebody that walks through the door and you see that they have the perfect canvas, I mean, we're talking about they are younger, they have, you know, just a certain look to them that you can just see that if you just change the teeth, that you have, like, just changed the whole world.
Yeah.
In a way. And so when you get that person in front of you, and then you tell them, wow, we really could fix this. And they're like, oh my gosh, you know, please, but I don't know how much that would cost. And you're like, well, it's this much. And they're like, I don't have that kind of money. And I'm like, and in my mind, I'm just like, I knew you were going to say that. But you still, though, you can't let them walk out the door. You have to now, you now have to say, I need that mouth to look like what it is in my head. And I'm going to do whatever I can to get that picture, that before and after. So whatever I personally have to do in order to make that happen, I'm going to make that number go lower and lower and lower in a sequence, in a way, until mm-hmm. they say, oh my gosh. And one time I literally said to somebody, I have a 2-hour gap in my schedule tomorrow. If you can come back here tomorrow with $1,500, I'll give you a whole new smile. And I said, but it only lasts by tomorrow. And the look in her eyes was like, are you serious? Because I just told her it's supposed to be like $6,000 or $7,000. But when I found out that wasn't going to happen, and I saw my schedule truly was open the next day, and I knew it wasn't going to get filled in that amount of time, I figured, mm-hmm. you know what? I need to bottom dollar this all the way and see if this chick can come through, pay the lab bill, pay the office a little bit. But in the end, all I wanted to do was see that before and after picture and have that. And then I also make those people say that they'll allow me to use it on Facebook. And so if, you know, sometimes when people are paying, you know, lots of thousands of dollars, they don't want it to be shown to the world. They want it to be discreet. They don't want to see they don't want to let people see their before picture. They don't mind posting their final, but how many of the ones where they pay full price will they ever let you see the before? And so when I do these, you know, when I do these other cases and they're, you know, I'm willing to come down on the price that much, I will just say, you know, I only ask one thing. And they say, what? And I say, if you allow me to post the before picture on Facebook, then I'll do it. And every time they're just like, oh my gosh, well, that's how I found you, was on Facebook. So of course, you know, I'll let you do that. I want to be your next poster Facebook, you know, shiner. And I'm just like, they really want to be the next superstar on my feed. And that's so good. It's become more of a fan base that now has taken hold because I've done enough to where it's no longer a shame. People aren't being shamed when they get put on Facebook. They're actually being completely praised, and everybody is coming from all over saying how amazing they look and how awesome that is. And they've just never felt so loved in their whole life. Mm-hmm. And it's really changing how the rest of the people after that are willing to suddenly now put themselves out there and show what they've been enduring in life as well. So it's kind of, it gives everyone a chance to have some closure where they've never had it. But don't ever let a case go. Ever.
Yeah.
If you want it.
Especially like you said, if you see that, the canvas in your head, right? So,
I do have a friend and he has tried to mimic what I'm doing. And the only thing that I'll say is that he's choosing these very hard cases, first of all, that where it's going to change their life. And then when he does it for a really low bottom dollar price and then he wants to post it, it's not having any effect. And I'll say it right now, it's because his canvas was not ideal. I know it sounds weird or vain or something, but if you want it for marketing, understand though that beauty sells. He's choosing 50-year-old men that, you know, or 60-year-old men that just have raunchy, worn out teeth, and then seeing that in an after picture is really not moving anybody. So I like to pick people in certain age brackets that they still have their whole lives left to live, and people not just see a better canvas, but they see a better story. They really just see somebody's lives truly just got changed, somebody who hasn't even started their life yet. And they now know just by seeing that picture that they now get to have an entirely new perspective and future, all because of that. Where when you choose somebody that's pretty much lived their life already, the amount of response is just not going to be anywhere near the same. So it's just something to consider when you're trying to decide what discounts to give and when.
Mm-hmm. Give it to someone who kind of has like their whole life ahead of them, like you said, right?
Yep.
You can see a significant amount of change too. And beauty. Beauty, you're right. Beauty does sell.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's super.
Yep.
So, what's the best piece of advice you have ever received that can help my listeners simplify, accelerate, or completely change their mindset in a positive way?
Honestly, I haven't ever received near as much as advice other than just proving my own, which is to never, to just trust your gut. You know, don't be afraid to lose a job. Don't be afraid to get fired. Don't be afraid to make changes. Don't be afraid to make huge changes. You know, don't be afraid to call it quits and say, my office stinks and I need to figure out how to change. I mean, my favorite thing that I do in my life is change things. And be only because I've found out that if you're willing to do it, number one, your fears go away, because one thing that people really hate the most is change, and they start to fear it. And so they start making a lot of business choices based on their fear of the unknown and their fear of change. Mm-hmm. And so I would just say, though, that if you're willing to accept loss, willing to accept failure, willing to accept willing to accept failure, that if you can accept it, not that you're aiming at it, but you're just okay with it. And if you get it, you just get to, you have another opportunity to learn and grow even more. And I will say that my extreme amount of skills, which I truly believe I have a lot of them, is come completely with the mindset of, I hope this works. I mean, that's so many times what I say to myself before I do something. I'm not doing it that blindly. I have a lot of confidence in myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I usually pick the right, I pick the right patients. When I do something I haven't done before, I tell the patient that this is the first time I've ever done this. If I have to, they don't mind. They think it's kind of like scary and they get a thrill out of it too. But just be honest with them and tell the patients everything you can, but don't ever think that because you've never done it that you're not allowed to try it. And all the time, give their money back. If something doesn't work, give them their money back. I'll tell patients all the time, listen, if you don't like my treatment, I'll give your money back. I'm not going to take your money if you don't like, or I'll redo it, or I'll put your money that you spent towards the next treatment. So, but don't ever take someone's money and let them leave the door unsatisfied. Always aim for the stars with every single patient. I tell patients all the time, you know, I know you want me to hit a home run, but I'm telling you right now that I plan to hit a grand slam. Nice. Wherever your expectations are, I promise my expectations are higher.
That's
and
good.
So just giving the most amount of confidence. If you don't have a lot of confidence in yourself, find it somewhere. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times lack of confidence is just because people are scared. And I'm just saying right now, the more you fear, the longer it'll take for you to get anywhere in when it comes to your skill set. But the more you're willing to just put yourself out there and fail, the quicker you're able to learn all of these things, and the faster you'll be able to practice at a high level. But if you'll be a good, I didn't want to be a good dentist in 20 years. I wanted to be a good dentist in 2, 3, 4. Mm-hmm. And now I've been practicing for 7, and it seems like now everything I do is right all the time. But it all became because I started off with the mindset of saying, well, let's see if this works. I mean, yeah. And every single time, dentistry is pretty intuitive. So you really just try it, and if it works, great. If it doesn't, you just learn something really important and move on.
Yeah, like life lessons. That's good.
I'm going to add one last thing.
Okay.
I really do have to say this, the funniest thing in the world. Not funny, but just the weirdest piece of advice you've ever, ever heard.
Okay.
Cuss. Just with your patients.
Oh, cuss
if
with
you
your patients?
Gain your, if you, if, yeah, if you want to gain your patients' trust the fastest, say a cuss word. It's genuinely the craziest thing that I've never seen, like that I see proven every day. Sometimes you want to make a patient laugh. You want to hear them say the words, I love this guy. Then just like say, you know what? You got a bunch of shit on your teeth. What the heck? And they literally will smile from ear to ear. And the person, whoever's in the room with them, will literally die laughing and be like, I'm never going to another dentist ever. And I say stuff like that all the time, and I kind of own it. It's really natural for me. It's not awkward at all. It's really just my personality to kind of do shock value all the time. If they're not expecting it, then I'm planning on saying it. And so it's just something that, like I said earlier, like try never to be professional. Just be yourself. And if part of yourself is being a little bit edgy with your speech, feel free to do it. You're going to have patients love you for life and never leave. And tell everybody about you.
Has there ever been a case where someone was like, what'd you say? Or no?
No, I got fired one time for cussing.
Oh,
but
wow.
It wasn't because of the patient. I was working in a place where they didn't appreciate it. Like, so it was actually my very first job. I pulled a tooth, and it was a 19-year-old kid, and it was a little pretty hard to get out because he was such a young kid and they couldn't afford a root canal. And so we ended up having to take out like a number 14 tooth, and it would not come out. And it took about 20 minutes to get out. And I finally got it out, and I said, just so that we felt some sort of unity, I put right when it came out, I was just like, I said, we got that bitch. And he all of a sudden was like, yeah. I mean, he was all like, yeah, we did it. You know, I wanted him to feel like it was kind of a team effort. You know, we just experienced this together and we won. And so I felt really good. It was a really cool moment. And after the fact, though, about a day or two later, I got called in by my boss that, and he says to me, I guess what had happened is they had walked around and talked to my assistant and said, hey, you know, how's Dr. Wilson doing? She's like, he's doing really good. All the patients really like him. And, you know, he seems to be catching on to everything really good. And they said, well, is there anything you think that he needs to work on or do better or anything like that? And my assistant was just like, well, I don't know. I mean, there was this one time that I wasn't sure, you know, if that's okay or not, but he said the B word. And they were just like immediately like, what? And so she tried to give the context, but I really doubt that it came across that well.
Yeah.
And so when in third person, you know, hearing it after the fact, you know, there's not a lot of good times to say the B word to a patient. And so it was just kind of, it's one of those things where it works great when you're the solo practice, solo dentist, but when you have other people that can rat you out to an authority that doesn't understand you that well, or that's trying to protect their reputation and they don't really get the whole reality thing at all, like I spoke about, and they just want to be conservative and marshmallows, I call them, people that are extremely, you know, conservative. It doesn't work well in those kind of practices, so I found that out the hard way.
Oh, man.
But again,
cuss.
Don't listen to him, because as soon as I got out on my own, I did stuff like that without even questioning it, just to see if it, what kind of effect it would have. And it's pretty profound how people respond to something so simple that you would do naturally every day when you get out of work, but you turn off when you get into work, and just realizing that, you know, I'll just bring who I am normally to work and see how that goes. And people are pretty astounded by it, and they really, it actually shows an amount of trust. I mean, when you think about it, when you're willing to cuss around somebody, you're actually trusting them. And so the patients actually feel like you like them, like you were willing to say this to them and around them, so that must mean you like them. And so they almost feel a certain amount of endearment, like you like them. And so they immediately like you back, because you're kind of trusting them with that kind of a conversation style. So it really does have a pretty unique, it's really backwards. Like I said, almost everything I do seems to be backwards, but it has,
but
it's been fun practicing every day, that's for sure.
Yeah, you're keeping it real, man. That's good. So trust your gut and cuss. Keep it real.
That's right.
Pretty much it.
Keep it real. Just keep it real. Whatever is real to you, do it.
That's good, man. I like that. All right. All righty, Kenny. Thank you so much for being with us. It was a pleasure. But before we say goodbye, tell our listeners where they can find you.
Kenny Wilstead on Facebook. You can message me anytime. I'm happy to help any new dentist coming out of school, or any older dentist that just want to chat about dentistry or philosophies or just different things about what I could do to help to make their lives easier and more successful. And I don't mind sharing anything that I've learned along the way. So feel free to message me on Messenger. Also, my cell phone number is 435-890-9960. So you can text me anytime you want to.
Awesome, man. That's good. And all that will be in the show notes below, the link to his Facebook and everything. Alrighty, Kenny. Thank you so much for being with us. It was a pleasure, and we'll hear from you soon.
All right, man. Thanks a lot.
Welcome back from episode 91, guys. How did you enjoy it? Interesting? Everything you've ever wanted? I know. It was, I could have sat there and like just, I'm not even going to lie. As soon as we stopped recording, I still talked to Kenny about like his past and everything. Like just an amazing guy. You know what I mean? It's amazing to hear everything he's gone through, he's put up with, and he still managed to like make things happen. You know what I mean? So a lot of it, I mean, it has to do with mindset, I would, you know what I mean? Like I'm pretty sure, like, mindset where you're at, you know what I mean? Like, he lived out of his car and he was a dentist. I mean, a lot of the times you don't think that you'll do that when you're going in dental school, but man, he made it happen. You know what I mean? So anyways, what was your favorite part of the episode? I don't know why I asked that, because a lot of the times you guys don't tell me, you just let me know, hey, this episode was great. And I'm like, cool, man. What was your favorite part? Never hear anything back from it. So guys, let me know, what's your favorite part of this episode? Do you agree with his methods? And also, I want to know, what's your favorite tool? As we know, his is the Back Action 77R, the elevator, which is pretty cool, because I mean, like, he can pull out you know, any tooth in like record time. Well, I don't know what the record is, but, or we should look that up one day. Somebody look it up and let me know what the record is, you know, for pulling out all teeth in record time. But anyways, I love how he emphasizes in like temp crowns. And a lot of the times, not a lot of the times, but sometimes we, like, a dentist kind of feels like, okay, this is just going to be a temp, let's just get it done, you know, the permanent. And then when you do put the permanent, it is true, like, a lot of the times I feel, oh man, I need to stop saying a lot of the times. Sometimes we see, like, okay, how do you like your brand new permanent teeth? You know, and they're like, oh, it's great, yeah, oh wow, you know, like, and you want something more. You're like, look, give me something more. I want to see a tear. I want to see something. But then they're like, I already kind of got used to it, you know, with the temp. And so that just goes to show, like, your temp crown is probably the home run, guys. Like, that's the home run. Like, you got to show them, like, that transformation immediately, right? And then they're like, oh, my gosh, I can see it. And stirs up emotions. I mean, that first time when they're able to see their complete smile or feel no pain, or, you know what I mean, like finally fill in that gap or whatever, the discoloration, and it looks fantastic, even though it's temporary, like make that happen. Make it happen. Give it your all on that one time, because the second time when it becomes permanent, they're gonna be like, yeah, it's great. But in that 1 to 2 week when they come back, that's the limit right there. That's where you want to, man, you want to get as many referrals from that one person as possible. Everybody's going to see them. They're going to be showing it off to all their friends and family, all over social media and everything, because they're so excited, right? Because you're like, look, it's a temp, but oh my God, like nobody else knows it's a temp, and this is how I'm going to look forever now. Like, this is amazing. And so that's what you guys want to like push a little bit more towards. And honestly, that unlocked like probably 2% of my brain, because I was like, man, that's amazing. I would have never thought. I would have always been like, it's a temp, let's get it over with, and then, you know, let's hurry up and get the permanent on there as quick as possible. But have them, let them have their moment with that temp, right? Because, I mean, to you, it's something like, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. But to them, it's something like, wow, oh my gosh, I haven't seen this in a while. But remember what he said. Remember what Kenny said. Pick your patients, too. You want to know what type of patients you have that maybe need that, that maybe you can give them discount or maybe even free, or just, you know, make sure you spend that extra, not extra time, but like give it more quality, you know, or whatever. And but make it amazing when you're picking that patient. Make sure, remember he said, like it has to be someone, and guys, I mean, I'm not going to say this because like, we're just saying it, but like we've seen the media, right? Like what sells, like beauty sells, right? Also, personality sells. The type of person, if they have a lot of followers, it sells, right? And social media, things like that. So kind of like do your research, look for that, or have someone in your office do their research, look for that, and then create that wow, create that home run. And I mean, let me know what happens, because this is exciting to me. Like I've started telling a couple of my clients and they're like, well, you know what? You're absolutely right. And I told them like way before this episode, typically when I record, an episode with someone, normally their episode kind of comes out like a month later. But yeah, so guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode. I mean, I did. Thank you so much, Dr. Kenny Wolstead. You are amazing. You deserve everything that's happening right now, man, like, and more, and some, because, I mean, you've gone through so much, and I hope this is, like, not even it for you. I hope, like, it becomes, and I know you got amazing things in the works, so, guys, keep a lookout for Kenny Wolstead, because he is going to be doing amazing, amazing things in the next years and more. So yeah, guys, thank you so much for listening. If you like what you're listening to, please, please, please leave a 5-star review. It helps me out so much. I'm going to be ramping up and putting out more episodes throughout the week. Yep, I said it. Nope, Michael already said it. I've been thinking it, like, should I put more episodes out? But then now I'm like, no, I'm going to do it, because, I mean, I love podcasting, and honestly, podcasting is where it's happened for me. This is all that, it opened up a million and billion doors for me, so I want to give it my all again. And I mean, I know I was putting out like maybe one episode a week, which is great. I mean, it's still good, you know. As far as with guests, I was putting out one episode with guests, and then I was putting out the Monday Morning Marketing, which is me answering questions pretty much, and then I was putting out the series The Making of Smile & Co., which is still continuing. But now I kind of want to, I'm trying to change things up a bit, and the format's going to change a little bit too as well once I reach 100 episodes. And so I'm excited to let you guys know how that's going to change as well. Let me know what you want more of on the podcast, less of on the podcast as well. Hit me up on any social media, guys, on Facebook. You can find me under my personal Facebook, Michael Arias, A-R-I-A-S, or The Dental Marketer on Facebook as well. Or you can find me on Instagram. That's probably the easiest way, Instagram. And it's under The Dental Marketer as well. And yeah, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. And like I said, let me know what you liked about this episode, your favorite part, and let me know your favorite tool as well that you love to use and you absolutely need with you at all times when you're doing your dental work. Thank you guys so much for listening, and I'll talk to you soon.